Hello, you're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenlith. I'm Jay Nemro. And... see. This is part four of... Don't be too much of a realist. Because you'll never do anything. I start out talking about Don Lancaster, a great guy who did some fantastic things for, I think, nearly 25, maybe even 30 years. Was his big thing. It was wonderful. What a great ride. I hope he made a lot of money. I hope he's become very happy. I hope he didn't keep investing that money into what he was doing and didn't save a lot of it back for the day when he just got tired or when his interests and his skills just weren't really that needed anymore. Which I think is what happened to him. The whole world is full of things that change. You know, people always used to say, the only constant in the universe is change. Boy, they weren't kidding. And I think that when they came up with that, they thought they were being really bright and smart. And if they would see the world today from their eyes maybe 50, 60, 70, even 100 years ago, they would just go, oh man, I would have made that thing so much stronger. I would have said, don't even bother taking breath very often because everything will change while you're breathing. Because it really is true. I don't take a lot of risks. I don't like a lot of risks. I don't mind a little bit of risk. That doesn't bother me. But a lot of risk, that bothers me a lot. I have, my great interest is in, I can't say my great interest. I seem to have great skills in computers. My great interests have always been in electronics, and writing and things like that. I'm always amazed. By how quickly things come and go. You know, your grandparents were probably used to a world, or your great-grandparents, for instance. I was going to say your great-great-grandparents. 100 years ago, you know what? Things didn't change much. If you wanted to work for somebody else, and most people didn't, because they didn't have to, most people could be reasonably assured that whatever they were doing at the first part of their life, they could live their whole lives doing it. You know, you would learn a trade. You would get really good at your trade. You know, you would continue to get even better at your trade. As you got better at your trade, people would pay you more money for it. Or you could live your whole life doing it. There was shoemakers. There was carpenters. There was... all these different things. And a person that learned a skill could be reasonably expected to be able to draw upon that skill for their entire life, for their livelihood. And I would call that, what I would call that is kind of a simple existence. You know, you could do that. Everybody could do that. Well, that's not true anymore. The time when you could reasonably expect to learn a skill, get good at it, and make a great living, or good living, decent living, off of that, the actual time period that you can do that within, has grown so much smaller, is shrunk down to the point to where you can't be assured that that's true. You can't be assured that that's true long term. You can't even be assured that that's true for 5 years. And I think it's a realization that everyone has to come up with, is that you're not going to be able to do what you've been doing forever, that we will come up with something else. Or something else will come that will all of a sudden make what you do, or the product that you manufacture, or the service that you give, obsolete. You don't need it anymore. And I think there are some things that are relatively safe. I'm in what I consider to be a relatively safe field. I'm in technology, computers. Technology and computers are not, by and large, going away. Life tends to increase in complexity. Computers tend to, too. The more complex things are, the less people are able to actually deal with them. But they see that they have a need to have these things. I need a computer that can do this, 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 and this. I need a computer that can filter out spam, for instance. I spend a lot of time just cleaning up computers that are full of crap. You know, adware, not viruses, but adware particularly. I make a lot of money that way. Someday we might take care of that problem, or we might circumvent it, or we might find, most likely, it isn't that these things go away, it's that they don't become the focus anymore, like, say, viruses, for instance. Viruses are, I'd have to say that, I know people say, oh, there's new viruses coming out all the time, and they keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you go, no, they're not. I don't believe that. There may be variants of viruses that are making the circuit again, and they may give them a different name and count and check, here's a new virus. But by and large, what's happened is that viruses are passé. It used to be that there was a market for people who had technical skills enough to write a virus. Now it's so easy to write a virus that any dipstick can do it, so that it's not impressive, number one. It used to be that in the computer security industry, that was almost part of your resume. You know, I wrote this virus scared this many people, it infected this many computers, you know, you need to hire me as your computer security consultant so that I can make it so that you can avoid these things. People like Kevin Mitnick and others like him, that's kind of how they made their living. I mean, sure, they had spent some time in jail, but hey, there's always a market for those who are good at something. And part of that comes from, well, I was so good that they had to throw me into jail. You know, it wasn't that they told me to stop and I stopped. I kept being able to do it. I was that KD, I was that good. You hire me and I can prevent people like me from getting into your computer system. Anyway, so viruses are passe because honestly, when it comes down to it, it has to be a profitable thing for most people. There are some people that will just do it because of the technical challenge of it, but those things peter as they wander off to their places, and who wants to go to jail based on a hobby? If you're going to go to jail, you want to have a reasonable amount of money that you've made off of what you've done. Adware has become so much more popular there for a while because it kind of fit in the gray area. It wasn't illegal. It wasn't, people didn't like it, but there was no laws against it. And there was tons of money to be made in adware. In adware, that's a product. In adware, which is something that installs software on your computer without you knowing about it. And adware is the kind of software that pushes advertising at you to get you to buy things. spyware, which is kind of a cousin of adware, it is different. Its profitability is in getting personal information about you that can be sold. Or for an independent person, it allows him to get information about you, hopefully with the intent to steal from you. Try to steal your identity so they can get into your mailbox or whatever. So things become obsolete. Even evil things become obsolete. I think viruses have become obsolete. There isn't a whole lot of interest in just disabling a computer, destroying data, which was what viruses originally did. Now that's not very interesting. Who's interested in that? Because those people tend to get found, those people tend to get picked up, and they tend to go to jail. And when they get out of jail, they don't become security consultants anymore. They're just this suck kid. And it's gone. Of course, you know, there's always the legends and saying, oh, there's tons of money to be made if you'll do this. And there's always suckers that'll get pulled into that, and they'll do it, and they'll get caught, and they'll get prosecuted. Adware is getting that way too. There's whole businesses that are falling apart because this way of shooting advertising at people has become so disliked. The amount of garbage that gets shot at you all the time is, you know, it makes it so that people don't even pay attention to it. And there's pieces of software that spend their time getting rid of this stuff. So the market starts getting smaller and smaller because it takes much more technical skill to get out these kinds of things and to have it be productive and make a lot of money. And, you know, those days are becoming gone. There's going to be a time at some point where we're going to, where maybe a security issue is going to really kind of take over all this stuff. Some people call it Net 2.0. That really doesn't. That's marketing. They're hoping to come up with a new sort of inner network that has security built into it. That you will specify who's okay to talk to, but you're not just going to open yourself up to 100,000 different people, or millions of people, the whole universe, to be able to throw stuff at you, contact you. It's like direct mail marketing. By and large, direct mail marketing, I remember there was a time about 10 years ago when that was half of what I got, was a ton of just kind of mass market crap. You know, I'm going to mail this to you, and for every 1,000 pieces I mail out, 2 will respond, and that makes it worth my while. Well, it's gotten to the point where it's not worth your while, and so direct mail marketing has disappeared, failed off. It isn't that all of a sudden there was laws put into place, or maybe there was. It wasn't exactly that there was excuse me, that there was a lot of, you know, that there was a lot of controls put on direct marketing. It's still going. I accidentally pushed the little button that puts my laptop into sleep mode, so it went to sleep on me. And I didn't know if I was going to lose this whole thing or not. But here it is. It's still running, and I'm still recording, and I can see that I'm recording. That's not bad. At least I know that now. These things come and go. Even evil tends to come and go. I think telemarketers, I think people who do marketing over phones. It was a big, huge thing, and most of the calls you got during the day were from telemarketers. That's pretty much gone by the wayside. Once they did the do not call list, that's a great thing government did, because a great majority of people just said, hey, you know what, I'm just going to get on the do not call list, and I'm not going to screw with it. Now I had a different technological way to handle it by just saying, I've got an answering machine that screens all my phone calls, and I don't get solicitors. Because they don't tend to, they know that the chance of somebody calling them back because of a message left on your phone that they didn't really want are next to nothing. So they don't bother. If they've got time, they don't have time to do that. So that just makes it so that people really don't care. So I think those kind of things are going to go by the wayside for the most part, because there's just really no money in it. There's no money in big businesses getting involved in it. Not there. I think it also happened with spam. Spams become such that, although you have to understand, the actual cost of sending out spam is so minimal that even if 99.999% of computer systems block it out, it never gets anywhere. There's still that 2% that still gets out there. And in that 2%, they can still make some money. Because it's really easy. It's really easy to dump things out there. It's becoming more difficult. And I think there will ultimately come a time when that kind of marketing will just kind of disappear. When all of a sudden people will go, spam? What's the whole point of being worried about spam? There's no point. There's nothing to protect against. Adware's starting that whole thing where there was tons of money to be made, there's millions and millions and millions to be made, and now it's becoming a little bit more difficult. And a lot of people are just getting out of it because they have a business and they want to legitimize their business. They don't want to get prosecuted. They don't want to lose all their money. So they're going off a different direction. They'll either keep their computer, their company going, and change the face of it so they don't get killed or have to go to jail. Or they just get out of business entirely. They take whatever money they were able to make, and they walk away. So there it is. That's all it pretty much is. And that's just to tell you, I've gotten myself in a position where I feel pretty comfortable that what I'm doing I'll be able to do for a long time. I work for a university. I do computer work for them. It isn't like programming. It isn't It isn't on that level. I'm not saying that they won't ever need programmers again, but by and large, they're getting rid of those. They're outsourcing that to companies. What I do is I do infrastructure. I'm like the garbage man. I'm a new age plumber. I don't think we're going to come up with new and fantastic ways to transport data from one place to another and make it useful to people. You know, software comes and goes. Honestly, software comes and goes. It doesn't matter to my business if Microsoft survives or not. I'm not in things that deep. I'm more of a computer plumber. I go and I fix people's computers. They don't work, I go and I make them work, you know. There's new technology that comes out, but by and large, that new technology actually makes my job a little easier. My job was actually difficult 20 years ago, my job was much more difficult than it is now. The computers were simpler in concept, but they were much more difficult to build and therefore much more difficult to repair. Now, I don't even have to worry about it. Almost everything's built onto the motherboard. The only question is it a software problem or a hardware problem? If it's a hardware problem, I call Dell, and they come out and they replace the motherboard. They replace the monitor or whatever else. It's really kind of a no-brainer. And what I'm paid for most is my troubleshooting skills. My ability to get into something and to figure out what the problem is and to fix that problem. That's a good skill to have. It's a skill that's always useful, no matter in what circumstance you find yourself in. So I'm lucky there, and I'll do this for as long as it lasts. And I think I'll come back and I'll talk about jobs and about how to find yourself something like that. My name is Jay Nemo. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenlith. It all fits on an old-fashioned diskette, one of those 3.5-inch diskettes. It doesn't fit on the really old one, because then I'd only have 5 minutes. You can see more of these things. You can go see it at quix.us. I'm going to talk about some of my new ideas, some of the things I'm going to try here in a little bit. I always love making changes to my website, because I'm always trying to get somewhere to where I really want it to be, and I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to make it happen, and I'll talk about a few of the concepts of that. This is Jay Nemo. Have a great day.